I think this evening, is, as I think about it, this is one of the better pleasures of my life to be able to introduce my son and ask that you would give him your prayerful and careful attention as he strives to bring you God's word.
Thank you, Dad. Good evening to you all. You can see I've titled my sermon. Hopefully that's up there. It says, Learn Wisdom. You know, I truly believe that God does not want us to be fools in our worship of Him. He doesn't want us to blindly follow Him just because, you know, someone else said so. Or I think we should be able to have wisdom. And I think it tells us many, many times throughout the scriptures that we are to be wise. And so, make my case. So, if we're not wise, we're led by instinct, we're led by emotion. You know, instincts can lead us in the wrong place. And for instance, if you have a job interview, and you go before a panel or a future boss, perhaps, and you go to do this interview, you can be scared to go to the interview. Your instinct would tell you to not go. That's what your instincts would tell you. Don't go. But then if you have reason or knowledge and wisdom, you're like, well, I need this job so I can cover for my bills, take care of my family. So you have to overcome your fear because your instincts don't always tell you to do the right thing. My instincts tell me that I should eat ice cream all the time. But if I ate ice cream all the time, you know, that would not lead to a good, healthy life for me. So my instincts, they can lead us astray. And so wisdom, now it's the antidote. You know, it keeps us from acting foolishly. It keeps us from just going on pure emotion. And my goal is not to get rid of emotion. I think emotion's a good thing. But, you know, emotion tempered with, you know, wisdom and knowledge can be very, very powerful. You know, we just can't go off of either. It is a balance, but so many people today just go off of pure emotion. You know, go with what your gut says. Go with your gut. And my gut tells me this. It's assuming that your gut is well-honed and your instincts are well-trained. Don't always have the best of instincts. See here, there are two little kitty cats down there on that porch and a bald eagle on top. And that one is looking up at him, kind of longingly. His instincts are probably telling him, I can catch birds. I can do this. His friend there is saying, Ted, I wouldn't. You know that? His instincts are leading him astray there. You know, it's something very disastrous. So, as they say, curiosity killed the cat. So if that cat gets too curious and goes up there and goes with his pure instincts, you know, he's probably going to meet a foul end there. Ha 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 ha. Yes. I learned from my pastor. So our instincts are not always going to take us in the right direction, are they? I think it was Will Rogers. Good judgment comes from using bad judgment, I think is what he said, something along those lines, where, you know, we don't get good judgment until we use enough bad judgment. All right, so Christ himself warns us against being foolish. I'm going to go into Matthew in the 25th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered, and he said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. You know, there are different ideas about what this verse of Scripture means, but I think we can all agree, you know, that the wise ones are the camp that we would like to be in. We would like to be among those wise virgins, those who were prepared for that night, who were prepared for when the bridegroom came. Whatever it is your interpretation is, we want to be on the wise side. Those foolish virgins went, and it was too late. They procrastinated, and they didn't get to partake. They didn't get to go to the wedding. They didn't go to the celebration, and they were left outside. So none of us want to be left out. So we should all be wise. Now, if you look in the book of Proverbs, there are many, many, many references about being wise and about being foolish. And avoid foolishness, avoid foolish relationships, avoid foolish spending of your money, avoid foolishness in counseling of other people. There's all sorts of just proverb after proverb of, you know, things about foolishness and how to avoid it. And we're warned many, many times. In Titus, in the 3rd chapter in the 9th verse, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You know, it tells us, don't ask silly questions. And I think in this particular instance, they were, you know, contending about points of the law, and they were contending about, you know, genealogies, you know, where people came from. You know, that's not what God came to set up. He didn't come to set up, you know, a lineage of anyone, you know, of any prophet or any priest or any apostle. You know, that it wasn't about that anymore. And he warns us many times about striving about the law and contending about, you know, points of doctrine. And you know, it's all unprofitable. It's all foolish. And it's vain. You know, we need to pray against that. Pray that we have wisdom. Now, there's lots of warnings against being foolish. We shouldn't be foolish, though. We need to seek out knowledge. And knowledge is good. If you go into 2 Nephi, in the 6th chapter, verse 61, to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. You know, so, we should be able to be smart about what we do. It's okay to go out and be learned. You know, if we're going to go out and we're going to be a nurse, we're going to go out and be a mechanic, we need to go out and be trained for those things. We got to gain knowledge from other people. No one is born with those traits. So we can be knowledgeable. It's okay. You know, of course, I have a college degree. You know, I'm not against you having a college degree or against anyone learning. But there's this, it's coupled with something, you know. You got to hearken unto the counsels of God. We can't be absorbed in that environment and let it take over and let us, you know, the humanistic viewpoint where, you know, we as man are the greatest thing in the earth, the highest point that has been evolved. You know, we got to hearken unto the counsels of God. And if we can couple those things together, again, we have wisdom, knowledge, put into practice. Proverbs. Again, there's so many proverbs about wisdom. In Proverbs 24, 3 through 5, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. And it tells us this. You know, this wisdom has this blessing here on earth. It's going to keep us well stocked. You know, not necessarily maybe even in like things of the world, but I think that's what part of it, what it's talking about, you know. For wise with what God has given us, wise with the things that He's provided to us, wise with our money, wise with our possessions, wise in our friendships, you know, it leads to strength. It leads to things where we will be able to use these things and be able to use them for God's greater purposes. Knowledge and strength. It's good. We should be knowledgeable. We should seek out. You know, study the scriptures. We can study science. We can study all these things. But again, hearken to the counsels of God. I don't think He raised us to be fools. He didn't give us brains with the capacity to be able to do amazing things. You know, the what the human intellect is capable of, you know, I believe it truly is a gift of God. Truly believe He gave it to us so that we could use it for good purposes, good for His purposes. We have our free will. We see that men use it for many other things. But I honestly believe that, you know, we can be made. It's very smart, very knowledgeable. if we use it for God's purposes. So we should ask for this thing. It's something we should pray for. We should all be asking for knowledge, asking for wisdom. Because none of us know how to do everything. Some of us may be good at some things. Some of us may have natural aptitude towards, you know, math. Not all of us do. Some of us have natural aptitude towards, you know, farming, whatever it is. You have a green thumb. But we aren't knowledgeable in all things. So we've got to ask. You know, I look at my scriptures and I find other places where people have asked for knowledge. I think the most prominent was King Solomon. And he prays. And in 2 Chronicles, in the first chapter, verses 10 through 12, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." You know, and Solomon asked for this, and he asked for it in the right. He listened to the counsels of God, and he knew he was too weak. He knew he couldn't handle this on his own. And so he asked of God, "Please, can you give me knowledge? Help me to guide this people." And God looked and saw he was listening, hearkening unto his words. "Okay, I'm going to grant it to you. What you've asked and the reasons that you've asked for it are within my purview, my desires for my people. I'm going to give them the king who's wise." And then in addition to it, he also granted him riches and honor because he was coupled with knowledge and what to do with it, how to use it, how to spend it, how to take, you know, what God had given him and use it for his wise purposes. And God granted him wisdom. So we should all be asking for wisdom, praying for wisdom, praying for knowledge. It's how we're going to make good decisions. It's how we're going to get through tough times. We don't know everything that there is to know. We can't know. But we serve a God who does know. He knows all. And if we ask in the right manner, we ask in the right frame of mind, we ask with an end game, being not our own purposes, but His, He can grant us wisdom. He can grant us knowledge that we can judge, make the right choices. Wisdom should be asked for early. Should be asked for often, but it should be asked for early. If we go to Alma 17, verse 68, "O remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto him for all thy support." As a father telling his son, you know, learn it now. Your life is going to be so much easier if you just learn this now. If you learn to be wise now, it'll lead you away from foolish things, fools in the world, foolish friendships, foolish relationships, foolish ideas. Things are, they seem good to us now, but in the long term, they're not. You know, it says, "Cry unto him for all thy support." You know, when I was a young police officer, I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, wisdom and knowledge in things. And I came. And you know, one thing I did know was I knew I needed to pray because I was entering into a dangerous career. So one of the things that I would do is I would pray every day. I know my wife would pray for me. She probably prayed more than I did. So there was a lot of prayers going up. And so I asked him, you know, to help me in my work. So you know, when I was in the academy, they said, you know, you're going to fill your bag full of luck. And hopefully, you know, what you do is you gain experience, and before your luck runs out, you have enough experience to be able to deal with what's in front of you. So I had an experience where I got a call for someone who was walking down, or someone who had committed an act of violence against a family member, and he left the house, and I started driving to the scene, and I found him. He's walking down the road. I was like, "Oh, got him." I pulled in front of him in my car and turn my lights on, and he doesn't look at me. He just keeps walking down the road, walks around my car. I'm like, what's this guy doing? And I see him, and he's walking down the road. He's not moving his arms. He looks really funny. I'm like, what in the heck is this guy doing? So I pull back around, and I get out of my car, and I start yelling at him to get over to him. And he turns around, and he's real nervous. I'm like, and I couldn't put it together. I didn't know what he was doing. Well, then he looks, and he pulls the gun out and throws it. And so he was a little nervous there. He knew what he was having. And I didn't recognize those signs. You know, my bag of luck still had some luck in it. I was lucky that kid didn't have any ill intention towards me. So we ended up getting him under arrest. But later on, you know, many years later, I believe it was with my mother and father. I think it was with Mike McGee. And, you know, I'd learned from that incident. Watch people, pay attention to what they're doing. So years later, I was with my parents, and we went to this restaurant. And we walk into this restaurant. And I went up to the counter and I ordered some food, and I stepped back, and as I looked to the door, I see this man come in. And immediately, I don't like him. I don't like what he's doing, what he looks like. He looks shifty. He doesn't look like he's there to get something to eat. You know, all these bells and whistles are going off mine, so I step back and I just keep my eye on him. As I watch him, he walks up, and I think our brother Mike went up to get something to eat. He leans kind of on the counter, Mike's looking at him. This guy walks up and he's staring right at Mike's wallet the whole time. So I'm staring at him, thinking, oh no, this guy's gonna take his wallet. And Mike didn't have much of an idea. I think my dad kind of caught what I was doing. I'm staring at him, I'm looking at him, and you know, as the criminal element tends to do, they tend to look around before they do something stupid. So he looks over, he sees me, and he sees me boring holes through him. He stands up. I'm just looking at the menu. Who are you? And he backs away, and Mike orders his food, and I keep him between me and Mike, you know, protect my family there. And then that guy went up, got a water cup, and then left, you know. Because I learned, you know, my learned wisdom. You know, before my luck ran out, I had some wisdom. Learn to watch people. Pay attention to what they're doing. You know, it's vital. So as a young police officer, remembered those things. It helps me prevent an evil act which I thought was going to take place. So where can we gain this wisdom? There's lots of different places we can gain wisdom, isn't it? What do you think some of them are? Let's take a poll. Where can we get wisdom?
Parents.
Parents, excellent, right? I got a pastor in there. Parents, grandparents.
Here.
What's that?
Here.
Here, yes, that would be from the pastor. Priesthood, you can say that, yeah. What else we got? Well, where else can we get some wisdom from?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, absolutely. Yeah. How about our brothers and sisters?
The
Scriptures is a good one, absolutely. Yeah. Can we talk to our friends? Absolutely. You know, there's all sorts of places we can get wisdom and knowledge from. They may not have all of our answers, but I find it's true in Proverbs in 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, can we not go to all these people? You know, and our brother back there, he said the Scriptures, you know. Absolutely, we can find wisdom in the Scriptures. I didn't write it down up here. But you know, can we fast and can we pray and seek for knowledge? Look for answers? It's happened before. If you go in Esther in the fourth chapter, of course, Esther has been taken. She's been made the wife of the king. This proclamation goes out that they're going to take all the property of the Jews. They're going to kill all the Jews one day. And so, of course, she's a Jew. And Mordecai comes to her and he's like, hey, you got to help us out. You got to do something. Naturally, Esther was scared. You know, if she had fallen into her instincts, she might not have done anything at all. That would have been the safe bet, right? It would have been safe for her, for sure. But she asks Mordecai in the fourth chapter, in the 15th verse is where I'll start. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to that which Esther had commanded him. Now she didn't know what was going to happen. She had no knowledge. So she asks for support. Just go fast and pray. Pray for me. I'm going to go do this thing, which is, you know, it's not within the custom. It's not how I'm supposed to do it. So I need your help. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? She wasn't given the answer, I don't think. She probably gave him the courage. And because all those people were fasting and praying for her, you know, he modified that proclamation. Changed it so it wouldn't be the great slaughter that it was going to be. Now we have these sources. We have these counselors around us. All these people we can go to and we can rely on. We can go to our scriptures. We can go to God. And we're going in humbleness, meekness, submissiveness. And we'll get answers. If we don't get answers, we'll get clarification. Or everything will work out to the benefit of our soul. It may not necessarily work out to the benefit of our physical body or the gaining of great riches or, you know, getting that job that we wanted, but you know what? It's our eternal soul that God is after. The soul is what he's interested in. He's going to give us what we need so that we can have eternity with him. That's the long game. It's not about what we have in this life. It's not about all the riches that Solomon had. You know, that wisdom he was granted. It was for his eternal purposes, for the house of Israel, our eternal welfare. And that's why we seek wisdom. That's what we're looking for. We want to be wise. We want to give informed answers. So what do we need to give an informed answer? We need information, don't we? We need to be able to speak to things, not just say, God is, because he is. You know, that doesn't work for a lot of people. You know, we need to be prepared. In 1 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, 15th verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And we need to give informed answers. We need to be able to talk to people about why we hope. Be ready to give an answer. How do you be ready to give an answer? Well, we got to study. We got to ask for knowledge. Ask for wisdom. So we've got to go out there in this world. We've got to live the life that we've promised we're going to live. Why are you doing it that way? Here's why. I'm doing it because, you know, A, B, and C reasons. Here's why I do this. I have a long-term goal. I'm not looking at the end of this life. I'm looking at the next. My eternal soul. I'm doing these things in this life so I can make it to the next. And I have a hope. You know, there does come a downside, though. We're not always going to be thought of as wise people. We're always going to be thought of as someone who has the answers. You know, a lot of the things we do seem kind of counterintuitive to what we're doing. They may seem, you know, hey, why would you do that? It serves no purpose here. In fact, it seems to be serving against you at times. You know, if you look at Nephi and Lehi, they had dreams. They said, all right, you're going to pack everything up, and you're going to take off. You're going to go across the desert here to the ocean. You're going to build these big ships, even though you're not a sailor. You're going to hop in the ship, and I'm going to take you to the promised land. So if you didn't have that dream, and you were Laman, or Lemuel, does it seem reasonable? Does it seem wisdom to leave behind your business, your home, your possessions, your comfort, your security, to head out in the middle of the desert? You know, when you think about it that way, you can't necessarily blame them for feeling the way they do. We kind of give them a bad rap, but they didn't have that same experience. And so to them, this did not seem wisdom. And that's what they say. They tell their brother, our brother is a fool, for he thinketh he can build a ship. Yea, and he also thinketh he can cross these great waters. You know, Nephi had received the direction. He was told where to make the tools and how to do and the construction of the ship. He was given all this knowledge, but his brothers weren't given that. So in Nephi's mind, it made sense. It was wisdom. I see the greater purpose. I'll do what you ask, Lord. And his brothers, I didn't see it. He's a fool. Not only is he a fool, thou art like unto our father, led away by the foolish imaginations of his heart. And we're not always going to get, oh, you have all the answers to salvation. Well, thank you. They're going to think you're a fool. You don't go out on Friday nights to the bars? That doesn't make sense. We all have a good time out there. You don't go on the weekends and spend your paycheck and that's a great time. You know, all those things they can be fun for a time. And you know, for again, that instinct kicks in. That instinct is, it's fun. It's enjoyable. You know, what are they doing? They're trading. You know, this momentary happiness is what they're getting for eternal joy. And that's what we're focused on, is we're focused on this eternal joy, something that's going to last much longer. And if you can put off, you know, that instinct to go out and spend all your money on, you know, boat, four-wheel drive car. You know, there's guys that have boat clubs and four-wheel drive clubs, and they spend every weekend doing what they can, all their money. You know, and they have a good time, I'm sure they do. Got some friends like that, you know, it's fun. But again, they're losing sight. I often hear, you know, the best day of my life is, or the second best day of my life is when I bought my boat. The best day of my life is when I sold my boat. You know, it brings all these added problems and heartaches, you know, and maintenance and all this other stuff. And just a money pit that turns into a burden. They don't see it because they don't have wisdom. Just following those instincts. What's going to make me happy now? What's going to do it for me today? Living for the weekend. And they look at us and think we're fools. And yet they're miserable. But that's all right. It's not to worry. We don't have to worry about that. If you go to Galatians in the 6th chapter, verses 4 to 10. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have this promise. You know, there are people out there, you know, they will reap what they sow, and that promise goes to us as well. Whatever it is that we're doing in this life, it's going to be rewarded in the next. And if we're doing good, you know, it doesn't serve us any purpose in this life for me to go and feed other people. I lose out on my money. I lose out on food. That doesn't do me any good. It does me nothing. But I'm not playing the short game. I'm playing the long game. So that when people ask and they're hungry, I feed them because that's the long game. That's what God is looking for. It's wisdom. Even though it seems counterintuitive, it's not helping me. There's no benefit to me. When I give a bum a sandwich, that doesn't benefit me at all. Monetarily, I lose out. And yet, reap what you sow. And it's not the reward that we're looking for in this life. It's the next. Still, there's no worries. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Again, those people, you tell them about this, and it doesn't make sense. It seems foolish, and yet they are the ones that are going to perish. But unto us, which are saved, is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, God knows these things. And He knows the wisdom of man. And He knows the wisdom that He's given to us. And He can turn it on its head. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Again, a lot of things I'm saying up here people don't agree with. It's foolishness. And if your heart is to serve your Lord, no, it's the power to save. It's the power to overcome. No. And now we've sought knowledge out. We need to be wise. We especially need to be wise with our words. We need to be wise in what we talk about. Again, that instinct kicks in sometimes. People will do things that make us upset. Typically involves driving. We get upset at other people the way they drive. Get upset at family members and the way they act sometimes. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You know, a fool sees something he doesn't like. I'm going to let you know what's on my mind. Give you a piece of my mind. It's all coming out. I'm going to act in this emotion, this instinct. And it's all coming out. Somebody does something stupid. That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It doesn't make any friends. And it doesn't change that person's mind. It's foolish. It's utterly foolish. But a wise man keeps it in. You know, we all have emotion. We all have some kind of pet peeve that gets us going. We got to put the wet blanket on that emotion. All right, I can talk about this later. I can go to this person when I'm not upset. I can go to them when I'm calm. All right, after. Now I can talk. Now I can speak. When I've got their best interests in mind. I've got my soul's interest in mind. Be wise with your words. In 3 Nephi, receive another warning. In the 5th chapter, in the 70th verse, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. We've got to be careful what we say. Now, those are all things that we feel and say. If I'm angry, I'm in danger. If I call somebody a fool, I'm in danger. Again, it's foolish to call names. You can't just utter what's on your mind. It must be tempered and purposeful. Is it necessary? You know, is it kind? Is it helpful? Does it need to be said? Or is it just this emotion that I have that I need to get off my chest? You know, you can find a safe place and do that. If you've got some emotions, you're all pent up. You know, husbands and wives do that to one another. So-and-so at work, oh my goodness. Your kid today, oh boy. You find a safe place for that and usually get, all right, it's not that bad, you know, hey. We can calm each other down. Seek some wisdom from someone who's unattached to the situation. Don't just let it fly. Be wise. So coming into the end of my sermon, 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, that's the point. You remember nothing else from this evening? No, it's in well-doing. It's in our actions. It's how we treat one another. And even though fools will spout off, we can put them to silence through action, through doing what's right, doing what's good. Good for them, good for us, good for the soul, good for our society, our community, our church. Do what's good. It's not all about what we say necessarily. We've got to be careful what we say. We can use words, but really it's what we do. It's going to put to silence fools. Amen. Got a little Pentecostal on you, but that's my little nephew there. He used to say that a lot. Amen. Yeah, but with well doing, okay, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I thank you for your time. Thank you for your audience and listening to me this night. Give you wisdom in all you do.